Welcome to the Bucket Problem. Damn it, my voice fucking cracked right away. We are cutting that shit.
Keep it in.
That's good. That's how we want to open
that's,
it up.
Yeah, that's the foot you want to start off
on. Oh,
welcome.
Man. Well, that's how we're starting. Welcome to the Bucket Problem, episode one. My name is Ace Anbender. You may probably, I think, know me from about a decade at Emgo Blog. But this is my new home now. This is coming out in conjunction, I sure hope, with a Substack newsletter of the same name launching this week. This will also be a double podcast episode week. Not to peel back the curtain too much, but we may be recording this a week in advance. So check out thebucketproblem.com, which, again, should be live by the time you hear this. Please subscribe to The Bucket Problem wherever you're listening to this right now. And welcome. This is a new project. You have already heard my three guests, co-hosts, making fun of me for my voice cracking like I am a teenager. So I will get to introducing them in a quick second. First, I wanted to just introduce The Bucket Problem as a project. This is something that I've been working on for a little bit here, cooking up while I've been sitting around, and I'm really excited to bring it to you guys. I'm going to be doing, obviously, this podcast, and that will be pretty similar to what the Ace Pod was at Emgo Blog, including some familiar voices joining me. And then the newsletter, I will be providing what I hope is informative and analytic-minded content on Michigan football, men's basketball, and women's basketball in pretty equal parts. The tone will be pretty familiar to people who know my work from Emgo Blog. Hopefully being able to branch out a little bit more now that I am my own boss, and that will include the same kind of irreverent tone, because this is sports. We don't need to take them too seriously unless the situation calls for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that kind of thing happening with Michigan anytime soon.
No, never. And on that note, we will be acknowledging that, we will cover sports, you know, outside the lines, because that's sometimes where it's appropriate to focus when certain things come up. You know, the Michigan Athletic Department is going through some stuff. But above all, both the newsletter and the podcast, probably especially the podcast, is going to be focused on remembering that following sports is supposed to be a good time. And part of that, I mean, you know, we did a lot of work on vibes in the previous iteration of this podcast. We will be pushing forward with our attempt to really get a handle on them and perhaps even quantify them if that is at all possible. And on that note, I am really excited to reintroduce my co-hosts. First up, Alex Cook, Castle resident, Castle blogger, long-time colleague of mine. The grand villain, Bonds Chill on Twitter, although that handle may change given recent events. And most importantly, friend of Stella. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Yeah, I didn't know about the allegations against Chauncey when I came up with the name. I didn't know about them when he played for the Pistons, so might have to drop the spoonerism, but I'm doing great, you know, enjoying the summer, having a good time bonding with Stella, who I adopted a couple months ago. She's great Pyrenees, and she's a great dog. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what the Bucket Problem has to offer and talk shop with you guys.
You said Great Pyrenees, but I think you meant polar bear. I just want to double check on that.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely looks like a polar bear, and she's shedding like crazy right now. It's big, floofy, white clouds of fur or snow. It looks like it snowed in my living room. So, yeah, she could be a polar bear for sure.
Adding some, you know, atmosphere to the apartment and the castle.
Yeah, you need a big wolf to protect you if you live in a castle, and that's why I got her.
It's a good match. It's a very good match. Connor Southern, who since we've last spoken has a new mysterious job that absolutely is not CIA operative. It's a noted Mountain Westerner, Josh Allen enthusiast. Out at Duke grad as of, I believe, the last episode of the Ace Pod, and has been free from Twitter for a while, which I imagine has been a pretty exciting development. In fact, I know it has been. Connor, how have you been?
I've been great. Actually, I don't know that we outed me as a Duke grad, but now everybody knows. Yeah, I did my undergrad at Duke. That's kind of the big joke. I outed you.
I have to apologize for that. Yeah, I would love to hear your take on Coach K's upcoming retirement at some point, though.
Oh my God! No, absolutely not.
That is the first time Dan has used the buzzer.
I'm gonna hear enough about Coach K for the next like calendar year. I do not need more of. Oh no.
That discussion may happen outside the confines of the podcast. I also forgot that Alex outed Connor while Connor was not on the pod.
I didn't even realize it was a secret, but yeah, he loves good fundamental Duke basketball.
That's right.
He has a vendetta against was Jalen Johnson, who quit the team and forced Coach K into retirement. Yeah, that's Connor.
Writes poetry in his free time.
That's right. Yeah. My favorite player ever is, Christian Laettner, because, of course, everyone still talks about that, even though I was 2 years old at the time. So on, et cetera. That's me. But I want everyone to know, I was born in Ann Arbor, and I think on this pod, only Ace and I have that distinction. The other two are invaders of NIMBY Wonderland.
Actually, to be honest, it's just you.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Yeah. I've lived here since I was five, but I was born in San Francisco, so I am.
Oh my God!
A little bit of
that's
a Michigan
basically
imposter.
Like being born in Ann Arbor. I mean, Ann Arbor West.
You really are fulfilling a stereotype here, my friend.
Yeah, if you want a lot of things explained about me, I think, a piece just came into place for some of you. that's a little bit about me. And finally, the third co-host, I'm really happy that we were able to get the whole crew here today. We have Philadelphia's most famous Italian, the only Wolverine in Chicago, a tall king, a bucketologist with a degree in Spartanology, the bucket problem child himself, Thick Stauskas, a.k.a. Dan, whose last name I cannot say on this podcast. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back podcasting, guys. I was just thinking, like, are we, like, the most stereotypical group of Michigan fans/grads that there is? Like, got, like, you know, like, child of academics, grown up in Ann Arbor, like, was too snooty to go to Ann Arbor, like, had to go to Duke. Like, possibly the only school
extremely
in
Ann Arbor.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, on Ann Arbor, like, someone from San Francisco to Ann Arbor, and then, I guess, an East Coast transplant that I didn't get into any Ivies, so I ended up here,
With a 35 ACT score, by the way.
Oh, right. No.
He's never mentioned
Dan
that.
Dan did not get a 35.
Yeah, I did not. I'm from the East Coast, so I took the SAT. So, I mean, if you convert it, yeah. It is a 35. We won't talk about what I actually got on the ACT. It's not important. Michigan doesn't know, and you guys don't need to know.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm a pretty stereotypical Wolverine as well,
yes.
Because both of my parents and both of my siblings also graduated from Michigan. We are just from a more provincial part of Michigan than, say, the southeast metro area.
Yeah, you are repping the western half of the state.
Which is why Alex has the only authentic Michigan accent on this pod. Sorry, Ace, but you know it's true.
It's entirely fair. I have a very mashed up accent.
Yeah, no, people have a hard time outside of the state of Michigan placing the accent sometimes. But yeah, if you hear me say my eh and accent and you're from Michigan, like you definitely know what that is.
I thought I had a Michigan accent, and then my brother started dating someone from Petoskey, and I no longer think I have a really big Michigan accent.
If I if we ever break out the Patreon, I'll do a special episode where I break out the Philadelphia accent from storage and just just lose every listener we've ever had.
I mean, we are counting down the moments until Dan gets this entire project canceled, but we're gonna enjoy the hell out of it until that happens.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear a 20-minute sports talk radio Philly monologue about Ben Simmons before this is all said and done.
We might actually get that in the second segment of this podcast. We will see.
Who ever heard of a point guard who can't shoot? What are you talking about? He's a power forward, maybe. Anyway, yeah, no, I can't do that for so long. Like, I'll start to, like, white out.
It's going to be tough to edit this because just the waves are going to be going way above the margins in this audio file.
So, but, I'm so sorry.
It's going to be great. No, we're maxing it out today. And to finish out this first segment, we're going to kind of rehash something that we've gone over before, because I decided to name this project The Bucket Problem, and part of that was because it's, you know, a memorable name, and I sure hope unique. I am a writer in the sports sphere, but the reason that this project bears the name is because we've been kind of collectively interested in what we have called bucket problem theory, which Dan kind of formally introduced on the Ace Pod last year, I think. I don't know what time is or means anymore. But we figured we would kind of explain it again, because it is the name of this whole thing, so that's probably where to start. So, Dan, I'm actually going to sit back and kind of throw it to you for a moment, because you're the expert here.
So, buckets and problems are both essentially vibes, but these are different. Like, we talk a lot about vibes, and we talk about buckets and problems on this podcast, but it really, like, I do believe that each sports figure, team, coach, and concept exists on a bucket and problem continuum, so to speak. And really, it's just about, you know, specifically the terms originated in basketball, with players either being a bucket or a problem, and sometimes both. Buckets being, you know, specifically, you know, more offensive-minded players. Problems, sometimes more defensive-minded players, but you can be a problem on offense without necessarily being a bucket, and you can be a bucket without being a problem. I would say the quintessential bucket is Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is an absolute bucket on the court. He's gonna get you his points. There's not much you can do when he decides to, you know, go to the rack. But I don't necessarily think of him as a problem, because I don't think he necessarily makes his team better. I don't think he's necessarily someone that I'm scared of, you know, when I'm watching the game. A problem, I would say, is someone like, you know, for Michigan fans, Franz Wagner, who maybe not necessarily a bucket, but just I imagine extremely frustrating to watch if you're the other team. Just someone that's always messing things up and just becoming a problem for the other team. So these are the two, these are the two pillars that we, you know, compare each sports figure, you know, that is part of our, you know, sports viewing experience. These are the two standards by which we judge them. And I think that, you know, it's a lot more fun than trying to break things down into numbers or quantify, you know, a player's impact on the court, I think that it's a lot more informative to either designate players buckets or problems or both. So I don't know if that really made sense, because it doesn't really make it doesn't make sense in general. This is not a well thought out theory, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah, if I may interject here, I spent some time this afternoon pondering the bucket problem question, and I came up with a neat little example of the bucket problem dynamic in the current NBA, which would be the Golden State Warriors. They have a bucket who's not necessarily a problem, and that guy is Jordan Poole. He's kind of the six-man scoring archetype, microwave off the bench, knocks down
open
shots.
Who will receive no slander on
this
podcast.
No, he's good. He really emerged after a rookie year when he was thrown into the fire and is like a decent player for them. You know, who knows if they're healthy, he could be an important player come playoff time next year. But Jordan Poole is a bucket. You know, he's a refined scorer, not necessarily a problem. Whereas Draymond Green, former enemy, notorious troll, he is very much a problem on both ends of the floor because of his basketball IQ, rebounding, you know, defensive acumen, ability to create offense from the center position. And then you have a player who is among the league's most prominent bucket problems in Steph Curry, who can score unlike any player we've ever seen, perhaps, and also stretches the game to the point where he can only be defined as a problem.
Yeah, I think we failed to mention in the overview that when you have a person who combines the qualities of both a bucket and a problem, you reach the rarefied air of a bucket problem. And I think that's kind of, you know, the core of what this podcast and this newsletter and this site is trying to do is, you know, I'm still going to, you know, while Dan maybe poo-pooed, you know, stats a little bit, I will still be anchoring a lot of my analysis in numbers. But there will also be, you know, a lot of feelings and vibes, and I mean, we're trying not to overuse the word vibes, but we're gonna do a lot of that in the next segment, so I'm gonna lean into it for the moment. And so, much like you want, you know, the bucket and the problem to come together and create a bucket problem like Steph Curry, we're hoping to do, you know, some hard analysis and some vibes analysis and have that come together and hopefully bring something that isn't necessarily out there right now. Not saying we are going to be the Steph Curry of podcasts, but you know, goals.
I'm going to jump in there when you said bring analysis that isn't out there now into being. In some ways, this could be made easy for us if only Michigan football could have like one guy that was either a bucket or a problem. Like, I'll just take, like, one. Like, we need Michigan football to give us something to work with. I say that as a football guy who won't be talking about Michigan basketball. Something that's going to draw a laugh from you guys, but I'm just getting a lot of stony glares here.
No,
I was agreeing. I was getting ready to say, that is such, like, Michigan football. I think that, look, there's a whole lot of problems with Michigan football, but the fundamental problem is that we have not had a... When's the last time Michigan football had a bucket? Like, a true, like just...
Braylon Edwards.
Braylon Edwards
was the last bucket we've had.
Nico Collins was a bucket, right? But
he never got the damn ball.
We decided not to ever, you know, run that play. But, like, it's... We have not had that type of player in so long. Like, you know, you could say, like, Jabril Pepe, they've had a lot of problems on defense, like, absolutely. But they have not had, like, a bucket that the go-to option, like, that quintessential player since, I mean, maybe Denard Robinson. But, I mean, all those teams were, you know, that sucked because, I mean, they didn't have any problems. So
We were discussing this earlier and determined that Denard was more of a problem than a bucket.
Yeah, I would like to concur with that assessment.
Yeah, but it's literally been a decade since... I mean, I'd say he was a bucket problem even because it's, you know, it's imperfect bringing the analogy over from basketball. But the point is it's literally, we're not just griping. It's been a decade since they've had a guy who could possibly be both. And, like, I'm begging for just, like, one dude.
And the overall vibes have been pretty bad since, you know, 2016 or so, you know, the last couple weeks of that season.
Yeah, November 2018 was when it really nosedived and it just never recovered.
Yeah.
It's true.
So, you know, those things are related, the fact that, that Michigan has not had, you know, these players that really bring out excitement and emotion in people, and instead it's kind of been a slog, and that is definitely related to the team not being as good as any of us would like them to be.
Yeah, and I mean, even though we haven't had any bucket problems, it hasn't been like the team has lacked for talent. You know, I mean, it kind of reminds me of the Dutch national team, where it's just, you have a bunch of good pieces, but psychologically it's, you know, maybe a little fragile. Everybody is kind of turned on the coach. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And I feel like all of us could talk for like 3 hours about this topic. But I do think that we're onto something here, which is that I think sort of spontaneously in this segment, we've left it at a good cliffhanger for the season, which is that the number one vibes request we have is not for Michigan to go 15-0, although I would accept that, but just
nice.
For Michigan to see, it would be nice just for us to see some signs of bucket / problem life, I think would be enough for us to feel better about how things are going. And Alex wants to get in here.
Alex is muted.
Oh yeah. No, I actually did not want to get in there. I was just typing something in the comments. Like, you can strike that comment about the Dutch soccer team. Just kind of awkward, unwieldy, whatever. Or you could keep it. I don't know. If we're going totally unedited and we're keeping in the little flub at the beginning, I guess you can just chalk it up to opening day jitters, maybe.
This is how the sausage is made, folks.
We're going to test that because we're now about to do the bucket problem's very first ad read. Because if you want to talk about a bucket problem of a brand, look no further than Home Field Apparel. And I am so beyond excited to have Home Field on as the first and currently only sponsor of the bucket problem. I should say right up front before I forget, use promo code BUCKETPROBLEM at homefieldapparel.com for 15% off your first order. They have absolutely fantastic retro college athletic gear from so many schools and more added each week. By the time this drops, Wisconsin week will have just finished and we will be, I believe, underway with Minnesota. Home Field has done a tremendous and evil job of stacking their big new Saturday releases with rivalry matchups. So we are also just coming off a back-to-back Texas and Texas A&M week. I'm wearing one of the retro Michigan shirts right now. I would say approximately 80% of my t-shirt wardrobe is Home Field, and that also goes for about half my sweatpants. And when you blog for a living, you have a lot of sweatpants. That includes the Doggers. I hope you got those. Those were limited release, apparently. But most of their stuff, not limited release, still around. Home Field Apparel, your home for just absolutely ridiculous mascots, dunking, some mascots firing weaponry. You get it all.
It's also extremely soft. I do want to say it's one of the few times where I felt that it really does hurt Michigan that we don't have a mascot, because some of the best apparel on there really is from schools with recognizable mascots doing ridiculous things. I think one of my favorite shirts on there is the Michigan State shirt with the the guy, like some like peddler, like he's. It's not a Spartan. It's just some random guy, like hiking or something. But it's a really cool shirt, and it bums me out that that it's a Michigan State shirt, and I can't buy it. You know, even if it's ironic.
Yeah, I've been in that position with a couple Michigan State shirts. It is funny you mentioned the thing about the mascots, because I have a couple thoughts on that. Because Home Field has been dropping a lot. I mean, I'm a dog lover, and I have kind of been collecting pretty much every shirt that they have that has a dog on it, or at least one from each school with a dog mascot. So, you know, everything from Fresno State to Wofford. But Michigan could be one of those schools, because Michigan had Whiskey the dog as a halftime act. Basically a mascot. Should have been, if we're going to do some revisionist history here.
We can make Stella the new mascot. Do you think Homefield will make a Stella shirt if she manages to make it onto the field at the Big House and become our new beloved mascot and potentially, you know, lead us to victory over Ohio State or something?
So we now have two campaigns. One of them is to make that happen, and the other one is to get Whiskey on a Homefield shirt. Because one of the great things about partnering with Homefield is that gives you license to harass Connor online. And that's why we love them. And also why you should please support Homefield and, by proxy, this podcast, because they put up with a lot to bring you great college athletic apparel. So once again, to get 15% off your first order at homefieldapparel.com, please use the promo code BucketProblem, all one word. And that, you know, that will be the case for as long as this show is running, I hope. So once again, I'm extremely excited to be partnered with Homefield. It is a brand I can absolutely get behind as both an absurd college athletics fan and somebody who wears a lot of leisure wear. And these shirts are, as Dan said, tremendously soft and comfortable. So are the sweatpants, the joggers. And yeah, also harass Connor about putting logos on more joggers. Do that too.
Just harass him in general. Just yeah. Do whatever you want. DM him. Yes. He loves that.
I think we need to talk about a distinction between Homefield Connor and the Connor on this podcast. Homefield has a very good brand, ran by a very good dude named Connor, but that is not our Connor, who may or may not be a CIA agent.
Thank you for drawing the line between CIA operative Connor and Homefield Connor.
Yes, Homefield Connor has a very genuine brand voice, and our Connor is a mystery man who's traveled the world and has plenty of, you know, interesting thoughts about Michigan's offensive line too deep.
He does. He's not a CIA agent. He does consulting in Afghanistan.
Jeez, guys. All right, I just leave the record straight here. First of all, I am not a Fed. Do not DM me. Do not at me. Do not look at my Instagram.
That's what they all say.
Yeah. I no longer exist online as far as any of you are concerned in any form other than the bucket problem.
That sounds great, man. I should honestly follow your path and get off of Twitter, but yeah, I guess I still need to post about the castle until I move out of here.
I mean, honestly, come Michigan football season, I may have to get back on just to sort of rend my garments, my soft home field garments about, like, you know, Michigan losing to Michigan State 34-10 or something.
Yeah, I'm sure your lefty Twitter audience loves the inner thoughts of a man who pores over the 2023 cornerback recruiting depth chart.
That was so funny when, like, sorry, a quick aside. It was funny when, like, you would, like, because it's mostly your followers are, like, you know, the Chapo, like, Twitter,
extended,
like,
universe.
Yeah, extended universe. Yeah. And it would just be like a tweet about, like, Shea Patterson, and guys would be like, what the fuck is this? Like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, dude, this is, like, are you some kind of weird? And it's like, oh, no, I'm talking about high school recruiting. And they're like, oh, this is so weird.
Yeah, I get a lot of DMs asking me to stop, and they'd be like, I don't want to hear about Shea Patterson. And I would say, I don't either.
Like, I don't want to be doing what I'm doing either.
I will never stop posting about Vincent Gray and company.
Oh, God.
That just crushed the mood, which I think is a great way to introduce our second segment, because we're just rolling straight through this thing. This might be a recurring segment, might not. We'll see how it goes. It's kind of how this project's going to go for a couple months until we work through whatever we need to work through. But this is called Good Vibes, Bad Vibes, because that seemed extremely appropriate for this podcast. The conceit, which I can see Dan has already kind of violated, is that everybody picks either a good vibe or a bad vibe that they are feeling that week. One topic, Dan.
Okay.
And
I choose bad vibe. I've got a lot more to say about the bad vibe.
And then we go through our choices as a group. Some of us have put them in the Google Doc that we are using to outline this podcast. Some of us are keeping it a surprise. And at the end, we will determine whether it's a good vibe week, a bad vibe week, or since this week all four of us are on the pod, it is entirely possible that we could have a pretty mid vibe week. But we'll see how it goes. Dan, since I know you have thoughts, I will throw it to you. Good vibe or bad vibe this week, and what is it?
All right, folks. I know as a Michigan sports slash, I don't know, like pop culture podcast, we know there's one thing that you're all waiting to get our input on, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yes.
Guys, I don't, like, the Sixers had such... Okay, so Joel Embiid is one of the premier good vibes, I think, in living today in terms of the energy and enthusiasm he brings to the game of basketball. But the Philadelphia 70, the problem with the Philadelphia 76ers is, as good of a vibe producer as Joel Embiid is, it is counteracted by possibly the only bad vibe producer powerful enough to bring down that team to a negative, like a net bad vibe, is Ben Simmons. I mean, just like the unbelievable way in which the Sixers just, almost as like a force of nature, felt like they were melting down in every fourth quarter of their series against the Atlanta Hawks. It is truly unbelievable. As a team, I think that this is, you know, something that goes along with my vibes theory. You could just feel the team's like heart sink as they got into like as the lead was cut to 8 in like 3 of the 4 games they lost in that series. Just totally incomprehensibly unable to overcome any level of bad vibes that were occurring. Just a complete letdown. Just relying on, I mean, seeing Ben Simmons go into the line is probably one of the worst individual vibe moments I've had since 2015. Like, it's just an absolute, like, impending feeling of dread.
It's like Vincent Gray covering a deep route kind of vibes.
Yes, yes.
Oh, just my like God.
Where you can just feel like something is about to happen. Like, something bad is about to happen. Like, nothing good can come of Ben Simmons lining up for 2 free throws.
Or even touching the ball. Like, I feel like totally wilted. He passed up an open dunk.
Yes,
thank you. Determining,
oh my
like,
God, dude.
To Matisse Thybul.
Unbelievable. Like, that's something like I'm one of the worst basketball players on this planet. Like, I'm confident enough to take that layup.
Trey Young was the dude closing in. Noted rim protector Trey Young.
Yeah, I have never seen a all-star wilt like that in a playoff series, and he ducked out of the Olympics. He's not going to play with the Australian national team.
What?
Yeah, the vibes. Yeah, the vibes in Philly are horrible.
Worse than normal. The vibes in Philly are normally pretty bad.
You don't need to apologize, though, for talking about the Sixers on a Michigan sports podcast, because I swear I spent a third of my time in Ann Arbor listening to kids from the East Coast complain about professional sports teams from their city. So, you know, you fit right in with the Wolverines here, Dan.
Yeah, we're hitting an audience, although not as big a one as we would if we were talking about the Knicks.
No, yeah, the Knicks. Yeah, we can talk about how Julius Randle kind of was exposed by the Hawks as well, but yeah, Ben Simmons, even worse vibes than that.
Terrible. Yeah.
Ben Simmons, the worst vibe play possibly in NBA history with that pass off instead of dunking. I don't know if I've ever seen a single play like guarantee that a player would be traded, and I think that happened.
Yeah, and Joel Embiid said in the post-game press conference that it's like, yeah, I think we lost the game after that play.
Well, what are you supposed to, I mean, but, like, what are you supposed to, like, what are you even supposed to say, like, to that? Like, it was so ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm carrying us to 30 points a game on a bum knee, and my running mate is passing up open dunks in crunch time.
They have to, I mean, look, like 1 second of serious talk, like, they have to trade him, but I almost feel like they have to start the season with him on the team just so that he can have, like, if they trade him now, this is, like, the all-time lowest his stock will ever be. Like, that's the lasting image in everyone's mind.
Is it, though? Worry with Ben Simmons, because also it's not going to take a regular season to rehab his trade value, because they're going to have to see how he does in the playoffs.
But at least you can, like, have... It can be a little better than it is right now.
Possibly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Do you try to flip him for, like, CJ McCollum or something? I don't know.
Just give me any of the middling Michigan players that are currently in the league.
Tim Hardaway Jr., absolutely.
What's scary about this for me, if I'm Philly, is Philly already famously in the last few years had a player forget how to play basketball. Markel Fultz.
Dude. Oh, my God.
So, I mean, it could get worse.
Well, at least they weren't drafted high, so that's fine.
Yeah.
We didn't tank for several years to draft Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I know that we're going long on the Sixers here, but can I just say, like, as a Michigan basketball fan, like, I have seen point guards with broken-ass jumpers. Like, Xavier Simpson had one of the worst-looking shots I've ever seen. But because Xavier Simpson has impeccable vibes and is a winner, he decided he was going to take those anyway, and it made the team so much more effective. Like, can you truly tell me that Ben Simmons doesn't have at least as good of a jumper as Xavier Simpson?
He doesn't have the confidence of a Xavier Simpson.
Right, exactly. Exactly, and that's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, if you put Xavier Simpson in Ben Simmons' body, he would be, like, MVP of the league.
Yeah, concur.
all right, Connor, the master of vibes, what's your vibe this week?
I'm going to keep this kind of modest and short, which is, as Ace noted introducing me, I'm from the Mountain West. I grew up in a small town. I was born in Ann Arbor, but I mostly grew up in a small town in Wyoming. I now live in Montana. And as much as Michigan football can be brutal, and as much as recruiting is horrible and soul-crushing and often can feel weird to follow the, like, you know, details of the lives of 16-year-old boys, et cetera, et cetera. I'm really happy that this kid, who has not yet committed to Michigan, but probably will, and I may be jinxing by saying this, but it doesn't matter because the vibes in this kid are so much fun regardless of where he goes. This kid, Colston Loveland, which Colston Loveland sounds like a made-up Rockies name. It's like it's like Rockies ranch kid name / town in Colorado, Loveland. He's from Gooding, Idaho, which is a town of 3,500 people. And he is, like, that feel-good story you get sometimes in college sports where you watch his film and he's playing, you know, a league that is probably one step above, like, 7-on-7, like, leagues. And he is just, you know, he's, like, just bounding into the open field. It takes, like, three kids to drag him down. He's, you know, sort of, like, knocking the quarterback, like, 20 yards back. And yet the vibes are good. It's not like he's, like, you know, he's not hurting anybody. But he's just so much better than the other kids. And that's one of those moments where I advise everyone to go watch his huddle, because I hope he comes to Michigan. It looks like he probably will. But, you know, we get lost in the shuffle of our despair, and we forget this is supposed to be fun, and college sports is supposed to be about kids realizing their dreams and making the most of themselves. And Colston Loveland is a great example of that. From the Mountain West, represent.
We have to, like, appreciate the, like, Sam McGuffey highlight mixtape vibes. Even if things don't work out, you still always, you have that highlight tape.
I mean, it's like, he is one of the most fun highlight tapes I've ever seen. Like, it's truly Idaho high school football wants nothing to do with him. He also has, like, what I believe is, like, a 6'1", like, 240-pound quarterback throwing him the ball. So just all kinds of really good vibes on his highlight tape. I cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah, that's one of the best genres of highlight tape, is just physical specimen overwhelming kids from a tiny rural place in somewhere in America.
Yeah, and this has more of the, like, you know, gigantic Labrador retriever for, instead of like just like destroying kids on special teams kind of vibes. I also want to point out, this kid's a 3-star, but allegedly has a very committable Bama offer. And if he does commit to Michigan, I'm going to have a lot of fun trolling fans who are like, ooh, a 3-star from Idaho, that sucks. Like, yeah, dude, Bama wants this kid because he's a freaking, like, baby Gronk out there.
And hey, like, the last time we took a number one player from, like, a pretty random state, it worked out well. Because I think Quiddy Pay was the last number one player from it. I mean, I'm going to point to him anyway. Number one in Rhode Island, Quiddy Pay.
Yeah, I think he was probably number one in Rhode Island. That's a good bet.
Yeah. Oh, I know he was. I'm just not sure if maybe we probably had some number ones in Connecticut since then because Don Brown.
True.
Or Massachusetts, probably both.
Those were all like the fifth or sixth best recruit in Connecticut. Because like the number one was always like, oh, like a nice high 4-star offensive tackle. And Don Brown was like, nah, not him.
Too big.
At some point, we'll do a whole segment for me to give my full breakdown of why the New England guys were not actually the problem at Michigan, but I feel like I'll spare you guys that for right now.
Because there will still be some pushback about Don Brown.
That's true.
I guarantee that. Alex, before I get to Bide, your vibe of the week.
So I kind of debated whether to bring up this vibe, but I figured why not. I had a deeply ominous vibe last week. So basically, over the last 8 months or so, I've been living some elaborate performance art because I moved into a castle located in a suburb of Grand Rapids that, you know, 13 stories high, concrete, looks like a prison with the floodlights and everything. And I started a blog about it. I wrote about it. I wanted to tell the story of my hometown and the castle and just kind of everything that goes along with it. I posted something again for the first time in months recently, kind of considering, okay, the castle, it's a big building. It appears to be shoddily built in some respects. I've heard a lot of innuendo about the building process. It's located on top of a literal swamp. And I'm like, okay, what if this place just collapsed? What if it falls apart? Is that really going to happen? And I concluded, you know, probably not. Like, odds are it's just going to be an apartment building that is a little ridiculous, but mostly normal. And at least from a day-to-day perspective of life, like, you definitely tend to lose sight of just the absolute aesthetic disaster that is the castle once you live there. But the day after I posted that, the condo in Miami collapsed, and that was a very ominous vibe.
Yeah. Overwhelmingly bad vibe there. We're gonna try to power through that one.
I do, but, yeah, I don't have any fun riffs for that.
No,
that's an absolute tragedy. And yeah, I haven't said this on the blog, but my dad was on the city council of Granville when the castle was approved, and he kind of went into former city councilman mode, talked to the city manager about, like, is this building being expected? What kind of requirements, you know, were there to build it in the first place? And does seem pretty stable, but yeah, bad vibes.
Yeah, there is some great dadding going on regarding this, however, and that should be acknowledged.
Yeah, he doesn't want his son to be crushed in a collapsing concrete building.
I keep trying to turn the vibes, and Alex is just
no. Like, okay, so I was debating whether to go with just, like, some generic happy summer vibes, like, oh, Ace, I love being on a pontoon boat in the summer vibe.
Well, I'm gonna try to do that right now because my vibe, which I'm using at this moment. Well, I'm using one of these things because my vibe is a good one, and it's a dry sweat towel and a damp cold washcloth under a baseball cap because it is hot here. It is like somewhere between 75% and like 400% humidity at any given moment, and I'm trying to keep myself cool in an apartment that does not have central air conditioning. And being able to just carry around a dry hand towel and not care about how ridiculous I look with a slightly wet cold washcloth under a baseball hat I don't care about anymore. I may look absurd, but the vibe is wonderful. It's your own personal air conditioning system, and I really cannot recommend enough just throwing, you know, sartorial caution to the wind and walking around with a washcloth under your hat while toweling off your sweat. It's the life, at least this time of year. And to me, that is a good vibe. So we have ended up with mid vibes this week. I guess that's appropriate.
I kind of want to salvage the vibes. Like, I was thinking, yeah, you know, a beautiful day on the water in Michigan to escape the heat. That's a great vibe. You know, cracking that second Oberon, fantastic vibe. But yeah, I don't know. Tyler, the Creator's new album, great vibe. I'm trying to do my best here, folks.
It's funny that you brought up the worst vibe, because, like, it's either you or Connor has, like, the Instagram with the best. Okay, sorry, Connor's Instagram doesn't exist. Let's throw that out there. Neither does Connor.
Do not DM me.
unless you're a girl.
Oh, but Dan's throwing out, or sorry, Alex is throwing out pictures of, like, Stella on a boat, and all of a sudden we're getting, like, the most depressing possible vibe for Bibbs. So I'm a little surprised.
That's how fundamentally that vibe shook me to my core.
That's
because
fair.
I've been very happy, you know, been leading a good life. The content on IG is good. Yeah, you know, hey. Pontoon boat in the summer. Go out to a beach on Lake Michigan. Listen to Dan complain about the Sixers. It's all good vibes.
That's what's so. I want to underline that, because what's so funny about this to me is, like, you brought in a really bad vibe. Understandably, like, it makes sense. But people that don't know you well won't realize that this is probably the most positive and optimistic you've been as an adult.
Like, oh yeah, no, I'm like a super super melancholic guy, so I'm used to the bad vibes mindset, but. You know, over the last year, miraculously, I have managed to attain good vibes on the aggregate. So, yeah, sorry for dragging us down. I'll come up with a list of good vibes for the next podcast, and we can maybe get things off on a better foot.
I mean, the black bile may wane, but it never goes away.
Yeah, the black bile theory, that could also be hashed out potentially in November of this football season.
Just to throw another good vibe on.
Yeah,
the pile.
I mean, you know, we have a lot of theories about vibes and, you know, buckets and problems. And I'm trying to bring medieval humoralism back. Like, I want choleric Connor, melancholic Allie, sanguine Italian Dan.
These are all words I don't know.
Sorry, yeah, I graduated with an English degree from the University of Michigan. So. I know great words, folks, the best words. You wouldn't believe how good the words I know.
Oh, my goodness. I think that might be a sign that we are out of material for this podcast. Thank you so much to everybody who's tuned in to the very first episode of The Bucket Problem. Please check out thebucketproblem.com, and if for some reason that link does not work, thebucketproblem.substack.com definitely will. I sure hope the former works. This is what happens when you record something a week in advance. Keep an eye out for the newsletter, sign up for the newsletter, subscribe to this podcast on whatever you're listening to it on. Ideally, Apple Podcasts is the way to do it if you're trying to juice our numbers and help us out, especially with a review. And please patronize Homefield Apparel and use that promo code BucketProblem for 15% off your first order. We are so happy again to have Homefield on as a sponsor. Thank you for listening. That's all for episode one. Welcome to The Bucket Problem. Damn it, my voice fucking cracked right away. We are cutting that shit.
Keep it in.
That's good. That's how we want to open
that's,
it up.
Yeah, that's the foot you want to start off on.
Oh,
welcome.